In the series right now, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. Hey, listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Glad you're with us again. We are on part four, Unleashing the Authority of Christ in Multiple Directions. Now listen, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. It's part of what has been going on in the underground by the hundreds of thousands rituals have been done. And they are ramping up, and there will be more done. And it all involves the summoning of the demons for the individual priests, for the transference onto their victims, for the summoning to get favors, of course, and to place on objects, to send against churches and objects of the, well, whatever their enemy would be, and then to release into the air. Now, there's targeted ritual warfare, and even biblically we see it defined in a future global level, global class ritual that releases demons, spirits that will go global. We call it a planetary wave. Even New Agers are looking for a planetary wave. I think that the dark side is communicating a coming burst of their presence and power. I believe that that the first one is at the rebellion or at the revolt, and then will burst out even more and more during the reign of Antichrist. His very apocalypse will bring manifestation. The false prophet will bring vast global level manifestation of dark powers, vast deception, as never before in human history. Listen, I want to welcome all those who've come to listen. We thank you for coming to Preemption Broadcast, the Podomatic. Not all of this series will be here. And I know some of you get it by automatic download. So for the series that we have, we put up some of those on this site. But the full series are on web pages listed at ShatterTheDarkness.net. That's where you can get all of them. So if you're a prayer mapper, a prayer warrior, an intercessor, and you're looking for all this information, a believer that wants more, and if you're, on the other side, you're reconning and looking. Well, we don't mind you looking at the materials because we understand the difference between the infinite and the finite. Listen, as we look at part four, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. I mean, even as we come to this springtime and Walpurgis and April 30th, May 1st, and, you know, big ritual time. The ritual calendars will talk about sex rituals, blood rituals, human sacrifice. And that's what's on the books publicly and not what's going on underground, under shrouded supernatural secrecy. Now, we've already mentioned that, and I think, again, for somebody new taking on this Part 4, please look at the introduction, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. We have about 8 more to go in this series. And if we're serious about dealing with the spiritual presence and force behind the political ideology and the laws that are being developed, behind the inspiration of military vision for the future, behind the concepts of globalism, behind the development of super soldiers and the hundreds of thousands upon thousands of satanic ritually abused individuals. We know that there's a vast underground, and all that we have seen and all that we have talked about is basically the tip of the iceberg, deep in the Vatican, deep throughout Europe, all in among Germany, the Netherlands, the old bloodlines, all the way again through the West. And it's not as though it's not in Russia, for those in Russia downloading, for those in China downloading. You know, Satan takes the opportunity he can get through the means and the doorways that nations and people in those nations open up to. It is obvious that when real Luciferian individuals summon the powers and use the ancient rituals, they understand how to do. They understand this. They know how to do it. They know how to conjure and send. Some of you listening right now may understand that you've been a target of this kind of sending, to do a curse, to do a spell, whether it's in voodoo or hoodoo or Palamaomi or the Abakwa, whether it's all the different brands of Satanism, whatever it may be, any kind of ritual or spell or working that would conjure spirits for what? Favors, empowerment, abilities, destruction of targeted enemies? Well, I'm going to tell you that if you're a believer in Christ, if you are leaders, spiritual leaders in the body of Christ, that we have found out over the last 25 years that this kind of targeted approach to where they're opening the door, summoning the powers, very, very similar to what you read in Revelation chapter 16. Now, in session 4, unleashing the authority of Christ in multiple directions. In the introduction, we're simply letting you know that Satan is spoken of as having authority, that he has exousia, the temporary allowability for rule and domain. He is called in Ephesians 2 the ruler or the prince of the domain, of the eros, the dense atmosphere around the earth. He's the spirit who is now supernaturally operative in those who are disobedient. In other words, those who have not do not have the Spirit of Christ in them. Check out Romans chapter 8. Examine yourself to see if you have the Spirit of the living Christ dwelling in you. Outside of that, listen, alternative and counterfeit spirituality will never save you, never guard you, only layer you and bring the deception deeper, broader, wider, and layer you in preparation for things that will be far more lethal but far more masqueraded. It's like having poison candy with a triple dose. It may taste sweet with a hint of bitterness and kill you all the quicker. I want to look over a number of things as we go into this first part here. About four principles, if I could. It's about the arrival of the authority of Christ, number one. Number two, the demonstration of the authority of Christ. Number three, the ground of the authority of Christ. And number four, the giving of that authority to believers in Christ. Then we're going to look on how to use that authority. We're going to look at specifics, how we can target. And we're going to give you a whole bunch of things to think through. We simply pray the blessing of the living Christ, the power and presence of the Spirit of God, and the acknowledgement in the sight of God of the authority, the incredible gift of this authority that Jesus Christ gave, unheard of in the Old Testament, but absolutely willed, designated, planned, purposed in the New. And without knowing this, let me say right now that I've done seminars all around, and as a pastor over many, many years, I would ask believers at seminars and places, how many here, I'd say, for the raising of hands. I'll probably do that. I'm getting ready to go to Michigan this next week, and we'll be in St. Louis in a few weeks, and down in Nashville sometime after that. And wherever I go, sometimes I'll ask, how many believers in Christ know the authority you've been given in Christ over the demonic realm? Raise your hands. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's been, on the average, maybe 10 or 20% raising their hand. Maybe another 10% kind of raised, not sure. Then out of that, let's just take 30%. Which means 70% of believers have not been discipled properly and do not know this. Or we're not willing to accept it so that we don't have to do anything about it. Now, out of the 30%, how many are using that authority? I mean, listen, it's one thing for you to know you have authority, this demonic, destroying, crushing authority of Christ, the authority with the ability to order spirits and command them, to expel them out of people, to come with prayer and this authority against dark presence manifested anywhere and everywhere. So, listen, if you have the authority, what are we doing with it? And that's another part of being, again, the kind of disciple that really takes up the cross and the proof of our love for Jesus. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And let me tell you something, Christian, if you put the Word of God into practice, the power, the manifestation, the building into your life of all these principles will be there. I believe we should be teaching new believers all of this within the first 6 months of being a believer. It sure will save them a lot of battles and defeats. It sure will save them from having to run to pastors and everybody else to say, pray for me, because I don't know what's happening. I don't understand Ephesians 6. My battle is not against flesh and blood. I don't know what to do. And so when believers are always asking somebody else to pray for them, and they're not using the authority themselves, again, we're seeing we haven't been taught, we haven't put it into practice, we're not experienced. And so I pray to God in the name of the living Christ that you and I will just embrace the Word of God, what Christ has given, appropriating and taking it. But then, listen, that would be of no avail if we never planned on using and offering ourselves to God that we may use that authority. Given the authority, you're expected to use this authority, engaging spiritual warfare and directly engaging demonic presence manifestation. So let's take into it. It's going to be exciting, going to be necessary. Anybody reading Mark's Gospel chapter 5 and seeing the man that was shredded, naked, bleeding, howling, crying out, and living among the tombs, totally demonized, hopeless, helpless, the best the people could do, try to chain him with iron chains, the superhuman strength that he demonstrated. He broke the chains. People feared him. He was like, well, they could say things like, he's insane, he's crazed, something's wrong with him, he's nuts. No, he's demonized. Legion is ripping to shreds a human being. Until Christ walks up and everything changes. And you as a believer in Christ who have the authority of Jesus Christ, when you walk into a room, when you walk into a place of witness, when you walk somewhere where there's somebody demonized and needs help, it is a ministry of compassion to see, as we see in Mark 5, the end of the story, the man is clothed and in his right mind, back with the people, and all he wanted to do was follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus. The demons all know, let it be known now, both in the scriptural testimony and what I've seen hundreds of times in deliverance. Oh, they know who Jesus is. You know, the atheist, the agnostic, those who reject, they may all give up their questions and act like, you know, they've got a reason. The demons know, absolutely know Jesus. They know his authority. They tremble, they fear, they shudder at his name. They know that judgment is coming. They know. And you've been given authority. Let's go over 4 points of that to lay the foundation here, and then we'll go on from there. Number one, the arrival of the authority of Christ. The arrival of the authority of Christ. Now again, as Emmanuel, God in human flesh, is conceived in the womb of Mary, then born, birthed. What an event. What an incredible thing. God now in human flesh among us. Savior of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, John the Baptist said. Now he comes into this domain. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that the evil one is in control of the whole world. Ephesians 2 talks about the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operating, and I would say legally, by rights. We as humanity opened the door when we also joined rebellion against God and allowed the authority of the fallen cherub and his domain, his system, to be over us. Outside of Christ, lost. Our spirits are dead to God. Our sin remains on us. Satan has an ownership over us and an operating platform in us. And we're hellbound. And how can we get out of this? What are we going to do as the clock ticks? And that's where, again, Christ comes. John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit of God, declares when he sees Christ and the Spirit of God come down upon him without limit, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The Savior of the world has come, and the demons know. Now listen, as a backdrop to all this, you might want to study Revelation chapter 12, where it shows that the dragon, the ancient serpent, in full force, knowing prophecy, was there in Israel, prepared and sought to destroy Christ even as a child. Did everything he could to bring annihilation to Christ, to bring him temptation and find a legal right to rob him, steal from him, and steal from humanity the cross. But in Christ comes an authority. As he stands in the world sinless, he has power over nature, power and authority over sin, power and authority over disease, and absolute power and authority over the demonic. As a matter of fact, when you begin to read Mark's gospel, and I would encourage you with this session here to read Mark's gospel. Now, the giving of the authority of Christ to us is found in Luke 10, which we'll get to. But as a backdrop, this dynamic gospel of Mark is where we see the first chapter alone. Jesus is literally preaching salvation and calling people to repentance, the kingdom, the basileia, the rule of God, the rule, the reign, with power and presence, the word work. It's come. It's here in Christ. It has arrived. And in one chapter, all that Jesus is here to do, salvation, healing, and authority of driving out demons. Notice how the people, when you read the Gospels, they were astounded. They knew he had authority. They knew no one else could do this. No one ever did this. Yet here now is Emmanuel, the Messiah. Here is Jesus Christ now. The demons knew, Satan knew. That's why he was there to destroy him. That's why in Matthew 4, he was there to tempt and try to break a hole into the sinless Lamb of God's character and life and find a legal topon, a way, a doorway in. Never did the entire life of Christ. I mean, Jesus says it later in the Gospel of John that the prince of this world now stands judged. Satanists and Luciferians should hear that. The demons all know that. And that the prince of this world has nothing in me, meaning that he has no legalities, no rights, as the last Adam. The first Adam and us as the human race, we sinned. We opened the door. We gave rights. You opened the door, and I opened the door. That's why radical, destructive, and globally destructive evil is coming. But the arrival of the authority is found in the coming of Christ. Unequaled, unprecedented, nothing like this. No, nobody's ever seen anyone do this. Yet the Gospels demonstrate him with over creation, over sin, over disease, over anything and everything demonic. As a matter of fact, Jesus referred to this about the authority over the demonic and the ability to crush their work, expose, expel, and crush their work. It was all about the finger of God has come. And point number two, the demonstration of the authority of Christ. The demonstration of this authority is found in Mark's gospel. The moment Jesus moves out, now prophesied in the gospel of Luke, the Spirit of the sovereign Lord would be upon Christ to preach good news to the poor. And this is all about opening the eyes of the blind and setting captives free. And it deals with a spiritual battle. We're spiritually dead. We're cut off from God. We're rightfully linked and owned by the fallen cherub. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 2. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit who's now operative at work in those who are disobedient. And context tells you anybody who's lost without the Spirit of God, without salvation, is still linked to and has a platform open to this fallen cherub in his domain. Mark's gospel is a tremendous gospel. We see it. We notice in Mark 5. You ever read that? And again, think about the human being who was there that was howling and crying and cutting himself. Was he cutting himself to release the pain? Or was he cutting himself as bloodletting to appease and please the demons? How did he get demonized? The scripture doesn't say. It simply shows a man with very little man left, totally controlled, so demonized. Listen, the Greek word is diamonizoi. It's the idea of the level. He had body, soul, and spirit, the total ownership of his life. This body, if he was Jewish, the context would tell us that he is, living in and among the tomb, is massive desecration. Everything about it spells of desecration. That's what satanic rituals are all about. Desecration. Desecrating innocence. Desecrating the elements of the Lord's table. Desecrating the Word of God. Desecrating everything possible. It's all about that. It's what brings pleasure to the dark side. The dark side rages and revels all over what mockery and desecration and seeming harm that it can bring. Well, the demonstration of the authority of Jesus is seen instantly in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, powerfully in chapter 5, when Jesus uses the Greek word ek, the stern command. Not so much that he raised his voice, but more so that he spoke with absolute, infinite authority. There is no higher authority that could have been used at this point. You now have Emmanuel. You now have God. That's why Thomas bowed down. Doubting Thomas eventually bowed down and said, "My Lord and my God," capital G. And so we find this expressed authority decimating in two ways. One, his very presence and authority, I mean, it forced the exposure, the manifestation. I mean, if you look at Mark chapter 5, Christ's arrival there in the vicinity, the demons knew. Remember in the book of Acts, the seven sons of Stephen, And the demons speak. I've heard them speak so many times now. The demons speak. Jesus we know and Paul we know. Please understand, believer, they know Christ. They don't care about Buddha. They don't care about Quetzalcoatl. They don't care about Muhammad. They don't care about fake Jesuses from the New Age movement, the ufologists, or anywhere else. Matter of fact, they help promote all of that. They fear the real living Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, that's the Christ they utterly fear and know. Two things: that he is the Son of God, that he's God in human flesh, and that judgment is ultimately coming. Now, the confession of that by the demons is found in the Gospels. I have seen that confession again and again in doing deliverances, just dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times. The nature of the demons, lethal, human destructive. I mean, they want to use a human being before they destroy. They want to do as much harm. That's what's in their nature. That's what's in their will. That's what they're all about. So in Mark chapter 5, as Jesus begins to approach, sometimes demonic presence inside is connected to, or at least in communication with, demons who are on the outside. I don't know if that's the case in Mark 5, but it's obvious that they literally led the man to run out and fall down in front of Christ. And this may have happened more than one time, as the Gospels show. And so he falls down, you know, and the demonic presence cries out, you know, what would you have, you know, they feared torment, torture, they feared judgment. They utterly, have they ever done this before? No. Have they ever fallen down before anybody else? No. Do demons fall down before cops? No. Before military? No. Before? No. But before Christ? Did they sense him? Did they feel him coming? It is clear that they had no confusion. Demons are not agnostics. They're not atheists. They are, well, mental believers that know exactly who Jesus, well, that he has always been, but in the flesh, who he was. And obviously today, the same level of the authority, the living presence, I mean, it is without question. There is no, not one shred of diminishing of the full infinite authority of Christ when exercised to cause manifestation and to command the expelling of demons out of lives. The demons know. Now, the issue again is this demonstration. Again and again and again, he shows this all the way through. And you can mark down here if you want to, or remember Colossians chapter 2, where the demonstration of Christ at the cross, that's the ultimate place. I mean, Satan went after Matthew 4, engaging Jesus direct. The audacity, the warrior, the one that is with this insatiable, insane desire to be God, the finite, to become infinite. As he engages Jesus, Matthew 4, as he purposely misquotes, I don't even believe the dark side can properly quote the Word of God, which is the language of the Spirit of God. And Jesus quotes back correctly, in context, clearly the Word of God, and Satan leaves for a more opportune time. This is no game. This is no past historical event only. The same Savior of 2,000 years ago that was there and eventually went to the cross, died, rose, and went back where he came, is the same Savior living in me. The same Jesus. The same Christ. The same Christ anyone in the world can call on and find as Savior and Lord right now. And it's the same Satan, the same fallen cherub that engaged Jesus and tried to use the Scripture to get him to disobey Scripture. The deceiver, the tempter, in full form right there, attacking Christ. Now, of course, again, he was shut out. Standing on the Word of God, quoting the Word of God, he stood. Thank you and eternal praise to my Savior, the Lord Jesus. At this, the enemy leaves and looks for a more opportune time. Later on, he, according to the Gospel of John, literally walks into, he enters Judas. The Scripture doesn't tell us that Judas fell to the ground, you know, foamed at the mouth. None of this kind of stuff. Because his heart was sealed against Christ, that's one of the broadest doors anybody can give in opening to Satan into the demonic realm. This is why Satanists offering their oaths and offering the ceremony to give themselves to Satan involve themselves in desecrating Bibles and desecrating anything Christian and Christian symbol and renouncing Christ. And that's what Judas did. Judas totally set his heart in unbelief against Christ, lived among him. And you have to really put up the shield to see Christ, listen to Christ, watch him raise the dead, and yet refuse to believe. Jesus knew which of them did not believe. And in that Last Supper, when Satan was asking to destroy all the disciples, to sift them as wheat, there was also this picture of him literally walking into, penetrating and entering into Judas. And instantly Judas got up, ran out, betrayed Christ. Of course, he ended up in the field, hung, cut down or fall down, we don't know which, but his body hit the rocks and his guts spilled out. The field is called Akeldama, the place of blood, the field of blood. That's Revelation 19:20 for all those Satanists and super soldiers and Luciferian elitists that'll be out there on the field. Armageddon is all about, again, the a global demonstration of the authority and power of Christ done at the cross, exercised in completeness in Revelation 19:20. When the Antichrist and the false prophet are all thrown into the lake of fire. When the entire globalist, supercharged, supernaturally guided, demonized military system that aimed its weapons into the heavens to kill the Son of God coming down. Well, it's very clear that their entire global super military, demonized, is utterly, completely destroyed without sweat, without strain, but by the command of the infinite. And that leads us right to point three. The ground of the authority of Christ. My friends, He is God. Absolute, infinite God. No beginning, no end. Infinite God. Immeasurable God. Indestructible God. Immortal God. In being and word and works, He is all one. What He is, He spoke. What He spoke, He did. What He did demonstrates His being. God is infinite. Versus all that is finite. Take Satan, all the demons of hell. Take all the angels that rebel. Take all of the entire structure of the demonic domain. Collect it together in their war against God. In the heavenlies they lost. When Christ came here, according to Revelation 12, they lost. And in the future, prophetic revelation of real human history, Armageddon, again, Satan utterly loses. The pinnacle of satanic power, the pinnacle of satanic control of the globe, of politics, of military, the pinnacle of his battle against God, the third attempt to destroy and annihilate God, and yet once again, and here now finally, is this absolute annihilation of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And so realize the ground of authority is in the being of God, who He is, with infinite authority, with infinite power. Listen, omnipresence, omnipotent, omniscient. Those aren't just theological words. They are words that express to some degree the depth of the being of the infinite, immeasurable God. God is immeasured. You cannot measure Him by human, any calculation, any instrument, anything human. You can look at the entire universe, all the galaxies collected, and they are but a grain of sand. God is beyond. God is transcendent. God is infinite. God is indestructible. God is immortal. And God is good. And God is love. And God is the God of creation and redemption. And He expresses His omnipresence, His omnipotence, His omniscience, even while He's in the flesh. Take a look at the life of Christ, the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ. All demonstrate the sinless, infinite authority. All demonstrate what He's done for humanity. You see, what occurs at the cross is the destruction, ultimate destruction of sin, Satan, hell, and death. The death of death in the death of Christ that the finality of death, the finalities of sin, the continuation of sin, all of it ends in the work at the old rugged cross where Christ, Father, forgive them. Talking about humanity there. They know not what they do. Could you imagine the resurrection? 1,000 years in advance, the Word of God gives a glimpse of it, Psalm 16. Jesus knew He'd come and lay down His life, John 10. By His own authority, He lays it down and takes it up. This blasts apart the domain of darkness. That doesn't mean that the domain of darkness does not have the ability to live in lives. The rules of engagement, the laws of engagement, wherever someone still is lost and without Christ and still has Satan's rights operative in them, sin operative in them, a dead spirit to God there in them, death, the death code in them, the judgment of hell in them and on them, without salvation, any human being is gone forever. So salvation is a spiritual deliverance from sin, from Satan, from death, from hell. This is the magnificent hallelujah of the living Christ. The living Christ. If you're a New Ager, if you're a mystic, if you're a psychic, if you're a remote viewer, if you're a seeker, and you don't know the real living Christ and the power of God and the transformation of the act of salvation, you know not God. Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. And you're lost. Your sin's on you, and Satan has rights. And the ramping up of the dark side, the layering of the masquerade of darkness, of a cheap imitation light. Without the real thing, sometimes it's what millions will go for. So the ground of authority, point three, is Christ. Is God, His being, His word, His works. It's who He is. That's why that's even part of the evidence of the deity of Jesus Christ, of God in human flesh. His life, sinless. The cross is where He breaks the power of sin, the power of death, the power of Satan, and the power of hell itself. His blood shed, it all works together. Inseparably. Life, blood, cross, death, resurrection. A blast of all of what we have opened the door to. Once again, even when you see the authority given to us, Jesus reminds us in Luke 10, rejoice, not about the demons being submitting to your authority, the authority in obeying you. Rejoice your name. Your name is written in the book of heaven. Rejoice that Christ is in you and that you're going to have indestructible immortality and you're going to see God face to face. Rejoice in the power and magnitude of your salvation. Now, point four is this, the giving of the authority of Christ to believers. The giving of that authority. Luke's Gospel chapter 10, in the original language of the Greek, Jesus says, I have given you. It's a perfect tense. From the point of salvation, with the abiding result, the living, permanent authority of Christ, the emphasis is on right now. I've been a believer over 35 years, but over 35 years ago, I have been given this authority with the abiding result that here it is, living and present in me right now. I have no problem. I not only know that, I've expressed that authority, hundreds of times now. And that authority that has been given to us, I have sought the Lord over the years to say, how far can we extend this? Since the Bible predicts and we see in contemporary society this massive ramping up of demonic manifestation, seduction, of doctrines of demons, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, the approaching apocalypse of Antichrist and the false prophet, unprecedented, unequaled time in human history of demonic activity, manifestation, presence, power, all of it. So, how far can we take the authority of Christ? Let's listen to, again, the words of Jesus. And I would pray that you would go to the Gospel of Luke, and I would really encourage you, go to the Gospel of Luke, and there, memorize. I mean, just literally memorize what Jesus says so that you really understand. It all begins with taking about 72 and he's going to send them out. This is a great training. He talks about the harvest of lost people and all those that are in need is vast. It's plentiful. The workers are few. The workers are few, dear believer in Christ. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. So that's what I'm doing. Jesus says, go, this command to the believers. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Isn't that interesting? I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. And it's all about taking the message of Christ ultimately, the gospel ultimately, the kingdom of God ultimately. But the 72 returned with joy because it involved the idea of the gospel, the kingdom, the salvation, the announcement of Christ, the prayers for healing, and then the authority to command demons out of people. Now, Jesus could do it wherever you went. But now 72 others, verse 17, Luke's gospel, chapter 10, they returned with joy and said, quote, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Now here's the words of Jesus in verse 18 and 19. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you, here's verse 19, I have given you, perfect tense, I have given you permanent presence in your life. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, figures in the scriptures in reference to the lethal, poisonous nature of the demonic realm. Now look at this. I have given you as a permanent possession, which you should know right now and exercise right now. Now notice what it's for, to trample on the demonic realm. Do you understand that word? The idea is to literally put your foot down and crush a scorpion, crushing it. I've given you authority to crush the demonic realm. If you and I could recognize the ramping up the demonic presence, the manifestation of demonic presence, and realize that it's vastly out here, have we not understood the nature of this authority to bring a crushing, a trampling of the dark side? And then look what he says, and to overcome, from a Greek word that means decisive, permanent victory, glorious victory, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Now we know the words, however, do not rejoice the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So it's not a matter of rejoicing the demons submit. That's part of the necessary application of the authority of Christ given to you as a believer, if you're a believer in Christ, and, are exercising. So if you say, well, okay, I acknowledge now Christ has given me the authority. As a believer in Jesus, all that the scripture says, like Romans 6, reckon yourself dead to sin. It says, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Why? Because you are. Because you are. Read all of Romans 6. You're dead to sin. You're alive to God. Well, you have been given authority, the authority of Christ, permanently. It's in you, dwelling in you. It's yours. And when you simply acknowledge, but also acknowledge the mission of that authority. There's only one mission, to trample and overcome, to trample and overcome. I have given you authority. I have given you authority. I have given you authority. It's a permanent authority. It's a right now authority. It's dwelling within you. Authority to crush and to trample the demonic. Authority to overcome with decisive victories all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. And that's exactly what they did. That's why they came back. They were astounded that by a command in Jesus' name, the demons would submit. I've seen this happen hundreds of times. The demons submit. And you got to understand that the demonic realm, according to biblical revelation and contemporary historical experience, the powers of darkness are here. Now, let me go real quick here. I got notes also, but I want to go to page two. Using the authority we've been given. Number one, accepting or appropriating the authority. That's what I'm talking about. Simply saying, Lord, I accept what you have given me, and I will use what you've been given me. Now, listen, that's very important. I accept the authority, I will use the authority. If you acknowledge the authority Christ has given you, you are expected to use it. And more than ever, I do think it's really a shame and a sham and a deplorable weakness in the body of Christ. In the city that I live in, hundreds and hundreds of churches, but dozens of them have sent to our offices, sent to us, because they wouldn't deal with the demonized. They wouldn't deal with the demon-possessed. They wouldn't deal with the demonized individuals. And they neglect this authority. They neglect this part of the ministry. Jesus didn't send out the 72 without it. Obviously, in Satan's domain, God of this world, 1 John 5, the evil one controlling the world, Revelation 12, that he seeks to deceive the whole world. He's operative, man. He's operative as never before. And the manifestation will get deeper, broader, higher, and more powerful. Never beyond the authority of Christ. Never beyond what we've been given. So let me tell you right now, let me, in the sight and in the presence of the living Christ, urge every believer, just say it out loud. I accept the authority, Jesus, you have given me as a permanent possession. I accept it to use it. And by the grace of God, I yield my life to use the authority of Christ to trample and crush the demonic realm and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Now, number two. What is this authority for? Well, it's not to use against humans. So don't go around commanding humans. It has no effect. It's not what it was given for. But only one thing, to trample. Not to just shove aside. This is not about just, you know, saying scoot over. This is not some kind of passive, simple little thing. Because of the deep, eternal, lethal, murderous, lying, seductive, human-killing nature of the dark side. It's about trampling, crushing their work, and overcoming their power, the power of the enemy. Well, the power is real. The demons and their powers and the counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles and doctrines of demons, their presence in people, their ability to speak, use, detect your presence. Oh, it's all there. I mean, in Romans, or rather Acts chapter 8, Philip goes into town preaching Jesus, praying for the healing of the sick, and obviously unleashing the authority of Christ, trampling the demonic realm, overcoming the demon spirits, and even Simon Magus. And the dark powers that were there. The Bible simply says that demons were leaving with screams. And there was great joy in the city when the power and the presence and the love and the authority of Christ was brought into the city of Samaria, Acts chapter 8. In Romans 16, in a demonized city with great idolatry, a young girl demonized, the Greek says, Python, a powerful demon that enabled her, gave her human enhancement to predict the future. And she was being prostituted and used by people for money. When he was agitated, I believe, spiritually within. He was agitated by the manifestation of the demonic presence in this girl that was following them. Read Acts 16:16. You'll see a simple application. How do you do this when demons manifest? He turns around in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you, get out, to leave. That's all. Order them to shut up, get out, leave. The authority of Christ to trample, to crush, to expel the darkness. Point number three, how to use this authority you've been given in a broader sense. Commanding prayer. You're to order the demons. It's not about just talking with them, negotiating. It's not about any of that. It's about the authority. See, God loves us and wants to save us. But when it comes to the demonic realm, He shows that realm no mercy. He shows that realm, because of the lethal, eternal, vicious, murderous nature and their supernatural power, he shows no mercy. And every believer recorded in Scripture that begins to use the authority, they do it the same way. It's simple. They don't use bags of salt. They don't use holy water. They don't use, you know, they don't do all kinds of ritual dances. They don't do all kinds of readings out of books to bore the demons. They do exactly what Jesus instructed, what he did himself. We see it in Philip in Acts 8. We see it in Paul in 16 temples. Now, in express prayer body, mention Colossians chapter 4, the Spirit of God says, devote yourself to prayer. Are you devoted? I mean, devoted, totally given, devoted, cut out. As watch Colossians 2, 4. I hope the Spirit to the believer, all every believer, devote yourself to prayer. That's God. You can either do it or not do it. Make prayer the place where miracles can happen. Ask so you can receive. Seek so you can find. Knock so the doors can be open. See, prayer and the power of prayer was given for the answers, not for just babbling words. It's all about answers. It's all about miracles. It's all about God and the kingdom of God and the power of God and the authority of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God coming through. There's no answers without prayer, without doing it. God answers prayer, not silence. God answers prayer. So devote yourself to prayer. Be consistent, daily. Listen, why don't you just decide to yield your life and become a prayer warrior, to be used in the hand of God? Now, when God says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful, then it says, with thanksgiving. And of course, our hearts must be filled with thanksgiving. Three elements, when I get down to pray, are always there. The devotion and commitment to prayer. Come in faith. Come with promises of God. Come and give God time. Come and intercede. Now it says, being watchful. Now what does that mean? That's from the Greek word that literally has the idea of the opposite of passivity. But that you are extremely alert, attentive. You know, driving a car, you know what it's like to begin to fall asleep at the wheel. You ever do that? Begin to nod your head, close your eyes for a second. Some people have never woken up. Hit a truck head on, they're dead. Their bodies are crushed. You see, when God says being watchful, one little Greek word, God says, look for attentively impending danger. The danger's not coming from God. The danger's coming from the enemy. See, that's found in the Lord's Prayer, the idea of training us to worship, to intercede, to deal with our own needs, to deal with any sin issues, and then any temptation issues, and then deliver us from the evil one. Warfare prayer. So every time you go to prayer and devotion to prayer and seeing God's miracles and seeing the intercession and so forth, in the context of that, there is this sense spiritually of looking and sensing and asking God, you know, where's the danger? Where's the enemy? What's the enemy doing? Give me the heads up. Remember Jesus said to the disciples who were totally unaware, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked. They didn't know it, but Jesus did. That church in the book of Revelation where Satan was coming to put some of them in prison, they didn't know it, but Jesus did. See, the ability to be attentive in the Spirit of God and to listen, even pray, Lord, what's the enemy doing? Lord, what's coming my way? Lord, where are the arrows that are being sent to me? Lord, is there any ritual warfare? Lord, make me sensitive by God, the Holy Spirit inside of me. Make me sensitive of this, to this, the spiritual warfare around me. If you're devoted to prayer, God also says that you are to be watching for the impending danger of spiritual attack, spiritual methodology, spiritual, you know, seduction. Let me give you four factors of this right now. Number one, awareness of demons. Number two, engaging the demonic. Number three, expelling them by commanding prayer against them and ordering them. And number four, when it comes to a lost person. See, I believe sometimes right now all kinds of churches that have nothing, they know nothing of the authority Jesus spoke of. They know nothing. They might sense something but not know what to do. That's why individual demonized individuals can walk in church and sit down and walk out of church. When I go to church in the midst of prayer, in the midst of everything else, you know what I do? I'm praying, Lord, is there anyone here that's getting any attack of the enemy? Is there any assignments against this church? Is there any demonic infiltration? I'm praying that. In the midst of the whole of the joyful time that I have, loving people, I was at church today. I was listening to a good message. I was singing the songs. I was meeting all kinds of people. Brand new church. We were just visiting. Then a brother who was sitting to my left, I kept looking at him. And finally, he looked at me. He got saved the same week that I did 35 years ago. And by providence, he showed up at that church and sat in the same aisle. What a joy. We understood what it was to be devoted to prayer together and praying together and understood what it... And so I'm at that church praying, Lord, is there any demonic, satanic, impending danger? Is the enemy coming against the people, the church? That's how I was as a pastor. Every pastor should be that way. You should care whether the demons are bringing their arrows and their attack and their harm to people. So awareness is one thing spiritually. If I get a sense, I want to follow that and go after it. And if I'm praying, Lord, I feel something, I sense something, Lord, we command. We want to pray, Lord, right now that some level, some kind of manifestation or engagement will occur. And if that occurs, we're going to do what Jesus did. We're going to do what Philip did. We're going to do what Paul did. We're going to command in the name of Jesus Christ, stop it. Get out of them. Leave them. Don't come back. And then lead individuals to Jesus. Now that's the basics, very thin basics, but the foundational basics of deliverance. Now using the authority of Christ even in broader ways, that's part of what this lesson is all about. Using that authority even in broader ways. How do you do that? Well, number one, anything right in front of you, deal with it. Number two, anything publicly. I mean, when you deal demonically, don't think, well, this is going to be, the demon might scream. So what? I've learned that you can't just say, hey, can we go to the back room so that nobody hears or sees this? Matter of fact, I've seen where full-blown demonic manifestation occurs and we step up and command it to shut up and then to get out, and this explosion of God's grace and power seems to manifest all around us when that occurs. People see this. I remember one episode that occurred. Literally, a teenager went running out of the building yelling, it's just like in Hollywood. It's just like in Hollywood. They're real. They're real. They're real. I mean, it was quite comical. But the girl on the floor that had the demons manifesting, tearing up her life. Well, it wasn't comical. She needed the powerful authority of Jesus with compassion to get rid of that which was tormenting her life. And she's free to this day. You must target their presence or their manifestation wherever they're at. Wherever you feel, sense, and deal with them in that manifestance. Even if it's from a distance. The Gospel of Mark will show clearly that Jesus could command a demonic presence. And I've found this to be true. Off of somebody, even though they might be 1,000 miles away. Now, let me give you some other things here. I want you to hear this real clearly, okay? Where do we target? How do you use the authority? Well, I believe you had to target the demonic. This is about the demonic. This is, all my other praying and all my, there's much more praying for things and blessing, but there's also a need to pray against the demonic realm. We need to use this authority in the body of Christ on Sunday morning. We need to be doing great intercession and prayer and so forth, and then eventually come to a point where we are collectively and individually praying against every dark power and presence we know. So here's what I say, quote, pray for the salvation of and influence of the Holy Spirit on people, but also pray against any general and specific demonic presence. The prayer of command against them, the demonic realm, and at times even asking the Lord Jesus to crush satanic presence and stronghold, well, like Romans 16:20, when God said to the Roman believers, the scripture says, in a prophetic sense, I believe, concerning Rome, that God would soon crush Satan under their feet. So I believe in both. I believe in literally with the authority of Christ attacking the demonic realm to trample them, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Jesus said, nothing will harm you. And when it comes to territorial and broader things and ritual, we can also pray, Lord God, we're asking you now to bring your hand against this, destroy the work of the enemy. Listen, 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the enemy, you know, Satan's work. To destroy it. Everywhere demons operate, they're stealing people from God in the sense of, you know, the Word of God can be preached. Satan comes to steal the Word, like it says in Luke, so they can't believe or be saved. And I pray right now, if you're an individual where the Word of God has been stolen, that now, by God's providence and the Holy Spirit summoning, you'll come to Jesus. Renounce the dark, finite, lying, counterfeit spirits. Come to the living Christ. Let Him give you the Spirit of God to dwell in you. If you're a believer in Christ, three things. In the expression of how to target the authority of Christ, well, I would do this. Pray for discernment. Pray for exposure. I'm talking about in your life and everything. I'll give you six basic areas. But pray for discernment and exposure and manifestation or revelation of the demonic activity. It's going all around. We just don't always feel or see it. I mean, Jesus was the only one that detected Satan coming in to want to destroy the disciples. He's the only one that, you know, really detected Satan coming in to, I believe, you know, move into Judas to betray him. Satan could not get out of the omniscient, the omnipotent, the omnipresent spear of Christ and his ability to know. There's no way Satan could sneak up on him. Though the disciples, that was true, and though the body of Christ, he loves to operate in secrecy, but send his arrows, like it says in Ephesians 6, those arrows, those burning, lethal, poisonous, involuntary feelings, involuntary thoughts coming against us are sent by the evil one. So pray for discernment, number one. Begin to pray. May God, the Holy Spirit, you know, give me discernment. And I pray that God will give you great discernment by the Holy Spirit. And pray for exposure of the demonic. In your prayers, pray. And in your church, you know, I prayed this in church before. God, if there's anyone in here that has a demonic presence in or on them that's hiding out, we pray, and I pray this publicly, that there'll be a manifestation without harm to anybody. And sure enough, a lady comes forward and a demon screams out of her voice, out of her mouth, "You can't have her." Well, fellow pastor commanded the demon to shut up and to get out. She was delivered. And that's the kind of thing we've seen happen many times. Secondly, Jesus gave revelation to disciples there at the Lord's Last Supper and to the church there in the book of Revelation where he tells them that Satan is coming. So Jesus gives the heads up. He gives the insight. Ask the Lord. And I'll give you six areas where, let me mention them. Concerning objects, places, where there's oppressive dark powers over the concept of ritual sites, power sites, generational issues, and six, yourself and your family home issues, you. So we can ask Jesus, give us discernment over any demonized objects being brought in, given to us, any demonized objects devoted to a demon god, any places like a shop, a voodoo shop, an occult shop, places that sell the stuff, any places there that have demonic presence. How about a city where there's dark, oppressive powers? We know that it's dark. How about the sense, or we found a ritual site, a place where demons are summoned, blood is shed? What about generational? If my mom or my grandfather opened deep doors to the dark side. And what about me? So I'm praying for discernment. I'm asking Jesus to give me a heads up. Let me tell you something. Prayer and praise can also bring manifestation. It can bring, you know, because God inhabits the praises of his people. And it could be, again, and sometimes when I'm not sure, I'm pouring out prayer and I'm beginning to praise God and sing strong. And you know what? The Lord can bring great defeat, like in the Old Testament, when the one king sent out a worship team, literally. A demonized, demon-infested nation was coming. And the praise team went out and praising God and singing. God inhabits the, you know, literally came through and brought massive confusion to the demonized and human sacrificing tribe. And God brought them victory. You know, many times I mentioned places like Bohemian Grove, a massive, massive demonic high place. I can mention, you know, people are familiar with Haiti and voodoo ritual sites. Again, let me mention the six areas. Demonized objects. Places where demons have been given permission. A home, a shop, wherever demons have been summoned or called upon or practices have been, you know, where doorways have been opened. Or a city that has dark oppressive powers that have built up because of open doors to them throughout the city. Four is rituals being done, power sites, as I mentioned, Bohemian Grove and things like that. Wherever there's a ritual site, in a basement, in a garage, in a barn, in a cavern, wherever rituals are being done, listen, you've got a place where demonic powers have been raised. Now, that's the places to target. Anything, Lord, anything generational, number five, anything in my family. There's no prohibition against praying that way. I can say, Lord, if there's anything in my family line, I want to come against it. I want to renounce it. I don't want anything to do with any demonic familiar spirit or, you know, coming down the family line. So I cut it off in Jesus' name and I renounce it and so forth. And I can also say, Lord, number six, is there any demonic assignment after me? Is there anything I'm opening my life up to? Ephesians 4, don't give the devil a foothold, an open door. Anything in my family, anything in my home. So that's where you can all begin and target and pray against demonic power and presence, objects, places, city, ritual sites, generational, your own personal life. Now let me give you quickly this last portion to this message. If you had a gas leak, you ask, where is the smell coming? I mean, if I smell gas, I want to look around. Where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? You know, if I feel there's some kind of dark presence or feel something going on or feel that sense or whatever, you know, or in my general prayers, Lord, because God said, watch, look for impending danger, you know, in the midst of all your great praying and all the joy and all the power in praying, also watch. And I want to sense by the Holy Spirit discernment, pray for exposure. Lord, give me a heads up. And whatever the Lord shows, well, then we need to exercise the authority of Christ against the demonic realm. And I'm going to give you about, I don't know, maybe about 10 or 12 areas. I want you to think through these, okay? You might have to think through these again and again and again. Pray against demonic powers and presence over politicians. They are a prime target in the end of days. Pray against demonic powers and demonic influence and presence in military. That's also a primary target of the enemy. Pray against the demonic presence in demonized leaders. Pray against demonized power centers, like old ritual sites and things like that, where demons have been summoned. Pray against the demons where in homes or offices or businesses. You can do that. You can exercise the authority of Christ. You can even ask God to crush, destroy the enemy's work as you're praying for the salvation of souls. Those using demonic powers, counterfeiting signs, wonder, anybody that's manifesting counterfeit, and they're literally manifesting demonic, miraculous stuff, pray against that, command against that, engage that. It happens in the book of Acts. happened in the Old Testament. In a way, the rod of God given to Moses, the staff, demonstrates kind of a type of the authority of Christ. When the sorceress came and unleashed a supernatural, well, the snakes, very vivid picture of that figure of speech trampling on snakes and scorpions. And the authority of God to swallow it up, to crush it. So anybody using that, I want to pray against their use of that. Pray against the demons. Will it bring me an engagement with the person? It might. And so use the authority. Command the demons. Command them to get out. Command against them. Command they won't be used in seducing and deceiving others. What about those who are writing doctrines of demons? Pray against the demons that are operating on them and leading them to write and mislead people. Pray against the demons that are promoting globalism and globalist ideology and the push towards the coming New World Order. Use the authority of Christ in praying against demonic enhanced abilities, like that girl in Acts 16 that could give predictions of the future. Wherever you sense demonic enhancements being given to humans, and they might not even know it. They might be accepting masqueraded energies. Well, if there is a supernatural energy giving human enhancement that leads away from God, then it's demonic without question. And you can pray for the exposure, manifestation, and pray against that demonic snake, that presence. You can pray against those seeking to contact dark spirits. We've done that in shops and other places to the point where they've gotten angry, because we've prayed against the spirits. If you've got kids and know people that are trying to seek stuff, pray against. Use the authority. Command against. What about those seeking spirits to give them technology and ideas in military and in government and so forth? Pray against that. If you get this providentially, learn your authority in Christ and pray against that, and pray instead for God's influence and the salvation of souls and lives. Pray against those that are reading. I'm saying the demons that are behind the demonically inspired writings that are unprecedented nowadays. Pray against the demonic influence. Pray that God will open the eyes of the individuals that are being led astray by demonically inspired writings. It's that you know there are doorways being opened up. People are summoning demons, calling out, chanting, doing stuff that open the door. Anything that opens the door to the demonic realm, you can pray against it. You can command against the demonic. You feel somebody's come into your house and brought something demonic when they came in and left, pray against it. Pray for them. Any places and people or actions of persecution, usually where deep persecution is, there's demonic power, a throne of power, like in those seven churches of Revelation where Satan had his throne. Persecution against believers can break out. Pray against the power centers. Pray that God will crush them. Rebuke the demonic spirits that you know. Target this. Those you know who are cursing or doing spells against you and or other churches, pray specifically, strongly, authoritatively. Command them to be broken. Command against them. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. And let me tell you this. As you're doing all this, and listen, 1 hour, I'm giving you the basics right here. Begin to apply the authority of Christ. Begin to learn. Take time over this basic stuff I've given you and begin to expand it. Begin to pray, you know, and use the authority Christ has given you. Now, I'm going to say, truly, I really do pray that some will even seek and target satanic ritual sites and the demons that are summoned and sent. Whenever it comes to using your authority against the demonic realm, whether individuals, places, objects, you know, all these different areas we're talking about, and asking God to even crush Satan's operative power and work in areas, three things I want you, don't forget this. Don't quit praying and using that authority and even asking God to crush and destroy Satan's works. Three things. Don't quit until there's clear answers, until the demonic presence and works destroyed. And thirdly, victory powerful victory in Jesus is demonstrated. I think what you see in Mark chapter 5, clear answer, demonic powers destroyed and victory given, should be true in all the cases, whether individual, group, large, city. Oh, my dear friends, this is what we need. This is what must occur. Millions of Christians in the United States must learn to intercede for the nation and pray for the advance of the kingdom of God, the salvation of souls, the blessing and the power of God on the church. All of the intercession should go on and on, being devoted to that kind of praying, but also being watchful. There's an enemy that seeks to devour your families and you and people in your church and your nation. Don't just stand there. Exercise the authority of Christ and command the demons. Their works, get out, be broken, be destroyed. Pray. God will crush them in the name of Jesus Christ. I offer this as only a basic beginning, but it is a powerful beginning. May God, the Holy Spirit, guide you. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. Anyone listening to me that's not saved, even those doing recon from the Luciferic camp, I pray for your salvation. We love you in Christ and pray that you won't go to hell and lose your soul forever. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web.